Rise and shine, Hawks fans. We've got some new additions. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. She is the queen of tofu, the leader of Allie's army, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack. He was an All-American, a national champion, yada, yada, yada. Played for the Falcons. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And we mix in some Dylon here and there and everywhere. And we make up the Morning Shift, the best sports talk radio show from 6 to 9 a.m. in Atlanta or ever or on the, you know, the station or
just
in the
period.
City.
Just period.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been a long time. And I say long time, like, you know, since 2021, since I have been excited like this about our Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Because Ansi Saleh is out there making moves.
No.
He is. I mean, the dude. I mean, I told you, men with beards, they don't mess around. And he has gotten a very aggressive beard.
It feels like it's few and far between where we get to celebrate the front office moves for any Atlanta team. Obviously, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has had his moments in the past, although he's been under the gun here recently. Terry Fontenot, it feels like, for the most part in his tenure, has been under the gun and had to answer questions. But nationally right now, Ansi Saleh is being, you know, patted on the back, I guess you would say, in terms of what he's been able to do with his Hawks roster. And it just feels like for the first time in a long time, it's just a clear picture of where we're headed. You know what I mean? Just a clear picture.
Yesterday was one of those days where if you put your phone down for 5 minutes and picked it back up, you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
There were updates left and right. And look, this show today, it is not ours. It is yours. Today, we want to hear from you about these Hawks moves. What is your expectation level? Call in. We want to hear from you today. 404-726-0929. Is Atlanta hitting contender status? Call in. Tweet at us, whatever you need to do to get your message across to us today, because we want to hear from you today about these Hawks moves at 929 Morning Shift. Let's break down what happened yesterday, guys. Hawks are getting Nikhil Alexander-Walker from the Timberwolves. That's a sign and trade deal for 4 years, $62 million. As part of that deal, we are sending a 2027 second-round pick via Cleveland and cash to Minnesota. Also, Luke Kennard will be joining the Hawks as well with a one-year, $11 million deal. Apparently, Trae Young, thank goodness we don't pay by the minute anymore with cell phones because he was on the phone all night last night recruiting these guys to come on over to the ATL.
Yeah, and you know, Trae Young is another interesting kind of part of this. We've talked about our expectations for Trae Young on the show, and Bo's said it a couple of times as well about, you know, what this is and what the immediate future is. And the way that this Nikhil Alexander-Walker thing has kind of been structured, and you look at, you know, I think it's a 3+1, or when the details come out, there might be a player option there in the fourth year. But Kennard, one-year deal. Porzingis, obviously, you know, his 1 year left on his contract at 30. Trey will be due an extension at some point. This is the last year he's actually under contract. He has the player option the following year. Dyson Daniels is ending his rookie contract this year. But, man, you have finally surrounded Trae Young with the pieces you feel are necessary for him to be successful. You've got length. You've got spacing. You've got shooters. You've got guys that can create. And we'll talk, obviously, all the way throughout the show about, like you said, Allie, expectations and all the above. But it's just, man, it's such a breath of fresh air to have some excitement around this Hawks team and feel like you're making all the moves necessary to strike when the iron's hot.
Trey is eligible to sign this offseason. I mean, this summer. He's eligible to sign this extension. I don't think it will happen. I was after the Porzingis trade and after the moves they made in the draft, I still believe that this is a team that is going to put it all in this year. And I think you just laid it out with the contracts with Kennard 1 year deal, Porzingis 1 year. I'm gonna start calling him Nall, N-A-W.
Nall.
And that's one of his nicknames, I think, that the people call him. Yeah. Is a deal that is longer, but this is a guy that's an elite defender that can come off the bench. I think that's gonna be his role, is coming off the bench. You know, he's pretty much gonna give you 10 points a night. And he is aggressive. I mean, I was watching some of the some just defensive stuff from him.
Yes.
And it's just phenomenal. It's fun to watch. It is SGA's cousin, by the way.
Ding.
And he was very good against SGA in the playoffs. So there's flexibility. I think Bill Simmons posted it. The Hawks were at one point a 33-1 to win the to come out of the East, right? Now they're plus 900. They have the fourth best odds in the East. They have just kind of upped the ante, but they're also doing it with a way that can kind of leave them open to if they want to kind of hit a reset. It's really cool the depth that this team has kind of developed. I mean, remember when we made all those trades to get rid of DeAndre Hunter last year? And I mean, I say all these trades, but you brought in guys. I mean, you look at their rotations now, like at any point in the point guard, they can have Trey, Kobe Bufkin, Nahl, N-A-W, and Nikhil Alexander Walker can play some point, and Vit, your guy, right? You also have Dyson at your two to three, what would be a normal 2-3, can be Dyson Daniels, Risha Shea, Luke Kennard, Nikhil. Again, their front court can be any kind of combination of Jalen Johnson, Porzingis, 00, Mo Gay, Asa Newell. I mean, so that's a lot more depth than you really think about this team having in a very long time. And you're still, I think, like $10 million under the luxury tax, or somewhere around that $8 to $10 million under.
And they still have that mid-level exception that they can use too. So the Hawks, by no means, Ansi Saleh, I don't think, is done by any means at all. And going back to Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he, in my opinion, was one of the best, if not the best, at least top two, as far as 3-and-D guys you can get on this free agent market. He was probably number one. You can make argue maybe number two, but he was probably number one as far as 3-and-D guys you can go get. And then he has his offensive game, too, is one that's evolving. And he was one of those guys on the Minnesota Timberwolves when they made these past two playoff runs. He was an X factor. Like, if he got hot from the corner or from three-point land, I mean, that was a very hard team to beat, especially obviously with what he brought defensively. And now you talk about if you want to go a defensive lineup, I mean, Dyson Daniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker on the court at the same time, because I guarantee you there will be times where they're on the court at the same time. You're talking about shutting down whoever the best two players are on the opposing team. I mean, whoever the best guard is, whoever the best wing is, I mean, forget about it.
That's the thing with if Kobe Bufkin, you don't know what he is.
Right. X factor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well.
He's, no, I mean, X factor in terms of, much, of yeah. what your expectations are for him. You know, I mean, right. You don't know. He could go one way or another. You talked about the fact that they still have money to spend if they want to go out and spend it. You think they're bringing another ball handler?
I think they need to.
Yeah. Well, I think Nikhil can. I think that's an underrated part of his game. I don't think he's necessarily, like, he's not Trey or what you think Bufkin can be, but he can handle the ball, especially if Dyson and him are on the court at the same time and you wanted to go with him and, you know, a little bit bigger lineup.
Yeah.
And a little, but you're clearly building a roster to make up for, and I know that Trey's gotten better, but he's still a defensive liability on the court. And if you're going to compete for titles, he is a absolute liability on the court, and you're making up for that. That's like, now Luke Kennard's not a very good defender either. So don't, but he's also.
He can hold his own.
But
he's not that. Yeah, but to your point, yeah.
He is a guy who, with the right night, is an elite 3-point shooter that can just go flat off.
Yeah, Luke Kennard, both, and to your point, for since 2021, he has at least shot in over 42% from three. Since 2021, at 44, 44.6, 44.9, 49.4, 45, and 43.3. I mean, he is and dead eye as far as dead eyes go. Going back to Nikhil Alexander-Walker and how Ansi is building for right now and the future, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he is one of those foundational type of pieces that you want when building a championship caliber team, 3-and-D guy. And then when you talk about what else they have as far as Dyson, you think they're going to re-sign him. He's a guy who can play defense, is starting to be better at creating his own offense. Jalen Johnson, he's a versatile wing that you would need when you're building a NBA championship caliber team. And Onyeka Okongwu, a stretch big. So to y'all's point about, you know, this being a team that is kind of where you're looking at Trae Young, to where like, okay, Trae, you've got all the pieces around you now. Like, what are you going to do with it? And this is also a team that Auntie is building that's like, okay, even if we don't move forward with Trae Young for whatever reason, and I hope we do, but even if we don't, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a building block. Jalen Johnson's a building block. Dyson Daniels is a building block. Zachary Sache is a building block. So, I mean, he's also bringing in guys that you can have for the long haul. And if you do hit a soft reset for whatever reason, those are guys that are going to be a part of it for sure.
It is just such an exciting morning for Hawks fans. I'm sure last night was like trying to go to sleep on Christmas Eve because all the news is just so exciting. So we want to take your reaction to the Hawks news. Nikhil, Luke, taking your calls all morning long. Are these the pieces we finally needed? Call in 404-726-0929. Dylan is on the other side of that number. He has a bike. Give him a call right now. 404-726-0929.
Sure?
Actually, I don't know.
You never know.
We'll take your calls next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You got Mike here, Bo, Ally Mac, and Dylan, who is going to be providing the Hawks sound effect all morning long because, man, what a massive day. Yeah, Dylan, come on. There we go.
Yes.
Honestly, the floor is yours today. We want to hear from you on all these Hawks moves. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Call in. Tell us your expectations, how you're feeling. Tweet us. Just get out to us. Reach out to us.
Yeah, tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. And obviously, there's so many different layers to what happened yesterday. We got through the whole first segment. I hadn't even talked about the departure of Caris LeVert, Clint Capella, and you know some of the other things going on with NBA free agency. But obviously, want to hear from you guys. You can tweet us. We'll get it out on the air. And right now, let's go ahead and go out to the phone line, Dylan. Let's talk to Paul over in Peachtree Corners. Paul, what's going on, man? Hey, what's the expectation for the Hawks this year?
Hey, good morning. I could not be any more stoked and excited about the Hawks.
Yes.
Literally, even if they had traded for Giannis, I would not be as excited because they'd have to give up too much. But yeah, I think sky's the limit. You know, the thing that's exciting to me is I think I'm excited for both now and the future. I heard over on ESPN they were glazing the Thunder and the Rockets and the Spurs for being contenders now and in the future. And I think the Hawks are almost to that point.
Yeah.
I really think for now, we showed last year, you know, whooping the Cavs twice at Boston and Boston. We really showed we could compete with the big boys. I think what held us back last year was shooting. We're a very young team, and then injuries. Injuries, they had a cluster kind of early on with the guard play, and then losing Jalen Johnson late. But I think outside shooting, they've addressed youth. I'm really hopeful the young core is going to take a step forward with Reece Chabian, 19,
yep.
And Johnson and Daniels, like 22 and 23.
Yep.
So I think it's really going to come down to injuries.
Yeah, appreciate
the phone call.
Porzingis,
Johnson, stuff like that. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Paul. I think he echoes the sentiment of just about all the Hawks fans. The Giannis thing took me off guard, but I kind of agree with him, yeah.
Well, actually, the Giannis thing's funny because somebody just tweeted me or tweeted all of us and was like, well, what's great to see about these moves is now we have the best trade package for Giannis. And I'm like, for the sweepstakes. And my response is, look, I want Giannis too, don't get me wrong. Okay, well, just blank all the depth you built and let's go get a Giannis.
Right.
And now, guess what? Yeah, you have Giannis, but okay, so what if something happens then? And now all the, and you know, it's just like I just watched SGA as a superstar. But
no
other
doubt.
Than that, who's the superstar on that team? You know, I know that they had some guys step up, but if Trae Young is the – and this is something that I heard Udonis Haslam last night on ESPN, who, by the way, he's really good.
Ding.
He's really good on there.
Yeah.
Whether you like what he's saying or not, he has opinions. He has a wealth of knowledge about the game. The guy played like 60 years in the NBA. And
unlike Nick Shook, he actually has elite ball knowledge.
Mm.
Well, because
go.
He was
ball knowers.
Yeah, well, he is an elite ball knower because he was an elite ball player at one point in time, in, you know, early in his career at the University of Florida. But he said, "All right, I don't want to hear anything. If you believe that Trae Young's a superstar, that's my words. Then this is literally the moment where it's put up or shut up."
Yeah.
And he said that last night on the NBA on ESPN's coverage of the open of the free agency night. I guess what would be their legal tamper. And he goes, "All right. You have all the ingredients in the kitchen now. Trae Young has to step up, and he has to be that leader on and off the court, and they have to go win now. They have to win stuff. Like there's no more excuses. And you've built a wealth of depth now with this team, and you still might add some players. So those are his words, not mine. That's a guy that played like 20 years in the league. And I can't remember who was running point, but she was like, you're going to give us the Hawks sound effect, Udonis? And he goes, no, I'm going to give you the A-Town stomp because that's what Trey's going to get if he doesn't step up and win with this team. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Dylan, I'll find the audio for you so you can pull it. But he basically was like, it is now time. So I get the Giannis thing, but I don't want to trade away all these players you just acquired. And you're not trading away somebody. But I don't want to trade away a Jalen Johnson or a Risha Shea necessarily to go – get Giannis. I want Giannis. Find another way is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to be so far over the luxury. I don't know how you would make that work at this point.
I agree with you as well. And it has been interesting, Dylan, that, you know, Trae Young is like reportedly calling all these guys and recruiting them here. But at the same time, like just a couple days ago, like there's people talking online and insiders saying that, you know, the Kings turned down the ability to try to go get Trae because he's too expensive or, his offensive. Like, there's been all these rumors about Trae not being here, and yet he seems to be the guy that's trying to bring these guys here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just goes to show that may be just noise at the end of the day and reports that maybe aren't quite buttoned up as you would want them to be. But Trae is bought in, and I think one thing that Bo started to touch on is the maturity of Trae Young and talking about what Udonis Haslem said last night, being that leader on and off the court. I think he showed more of the ability to be that leader on and off the court last year, and he really showed that maturity. So I think that's going to be big. And him recruiting guys in and knowing, like, I need this help so I can go win. I mean, I think the maturity he showed last year shows that he can be the leader of a team like this, of a team with expectations.
Well, and that's the other point. Give it – let him do this one more year with this type of depth, right? Because and again, if there's a chance to get Giannis, I'm not saying no. Do not twist my words. But the reality is that this is finally his team. Let him go be the freaking guy.
Yeah. Well, and the beauty of it is, if it doesn't work out and he's not the guy, then guess what? He's a free agent, with a player option next offseason.
Exactly.
So that'll be something to approach then. Let's go back to the phone line. Let's talk to our buddy Trayvon over in Decatur. Trayvon, what you think about the Hawks this morning?
Hey, man. I love it. It shows the competency of the front office. I said it with the Porzingis trade and then with the draft. But really, these moves, especially seeing all the reports who the Hawks were linked to and, in the past, we'll see that, and they don't even sniff at the player that they're linked to. Now, we've seen that Luke Kennard, Alexander Walker, we've been linked to him and we actually got him. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can't wait to go to some games. Take my son to his first game this upcoming season and actually be confident that they're going to win.
Yeah, man, appreciate the phone call. Allie, I know we got some tweets rolling in as well, and just love all the reaction from all the Hawks fans that are stoked about it.
Yeah, Big Debo, ATL, talking about what's really great to see. I think this is something you touched on, Bo. What's really great to see about the Hawks move is that we now have the best trade package for the Giannis suite.
Yeah.
So
it's and look, that's just so far out in the future. Let's go back to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's welcome in Frank from McDonough. Frank, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm not exactly excited about the Hawks, man. To me, I mean, people talking about it's put up or shut up for Trae. It's more put up or shut up for Travis Link and the Hawks, man. I personally believe that they're just, I mean, preparing for the future, as far as that first-round pick for next year and next year's draft being maybe deeper than this year's and going forward. I really think Porzingis was just a salary dump. I mean, you got the guy for 1 year, then his money comes off the books. You replace current bench players with more bench players. I mean, it's not like you got some bona fide starter who's going to make a difference in the team. So, I mean, if people are excited about the play-in, then so be it, but it's not like this team's going to be like a third or fourth seed.
Wow. That's an alternative headline that I haven't heard.
Yeah, well, I guess you have alternative
thanks for the call,
headlines.
Either way, thanks for the call.
When you don't know who the GM is, because, I mean, you know, Travis Schlink ain't been here. And he's like, we're like two GMs removed from Travis Schlink. Yeah, you do replace bench players with bench players. That's normally how it works. I mean, not a lot of teams can just bring in superstars and say, hey, you sit your ass over there while these guys start, and then we'll put you in. Like, what makes you guys happy? I mean, you don't want to bring in the best free agents available that the market has for what you can do?
Well, and I think
I mean, you have Reese Shea starting. You have Jalen Johnson starting. You Porzingis, you know what? I said that he might be a one and done here. But the reality is that's based on how he plays. If he stays healthy and this team wins, he's still a freaking starter in the NBA. That's 1 year removed from an NBA championship.
Yeah, I think the beauty of the moves for me, honestly, has been that you haven't given up any of your starters to be able to go out and add pieces. That's the beauty of it. You've kept intact everything. Now, Clint Capella's not here, and he was a starter at the beginning of the year last year. And I got questions later on in the show about what the heck Houston is doing with their bigs, because that's a weird situation for the amount of money they paid for him. But you didn't move on from any of your starters. All you did was add depth and bulk and the pieces that you needed to be able to be good around Trey. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, man. So, and look, it's interesting. I don't want to – not sitting here trying to belittle. I know Frank is probably about 10% of Hawks fans that always feel bad about what the Hawks are able to do. But the rest of us are waking up this morning like it's been Christmas.
No, I'm not. Hold on. Here's the thing. I'm okay with not being in love with things. But don't
the Travis Schlink thing.
Don't come with ridiculousness.
What are we doing?
Like, don't. First off, you don't need a salary dump for the first pick for the number one pick next year, because, you know, that's not necessarily how it works. But, like, don't just. You got to have real facts if you want to. You want to counter what they did, which is fine. I'm all for it. I love hearing the other side of the argument, but come with facts. Travis Schlink ain't been the GM in like 5 years. Okay, he's not responsible for anything that's happened.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't even
a
Landry Fields drop. we're talking about Travis Schlink.
Normally, you replace bench players with other bench players.
Yeah.
You just went and got one of the best. You got basically 2 6 men, Luke Kennard from Memphis and Nikhil Alexander Walker from Minnesota. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you replace guys with real guys. Like, I mean, you with better guys, I would say. The biggest detriment you've had this so far is losing Caris LeVert. That's it. Not Capella, not any of those guys. It's LeVert. That's the one guy you probably wish you could have found a way to keep.
And just real quick, Nikhil Alexander Walker could be a starter in this league. So he's talking about, you know, he didn't get a – he replaced bench players with bench players. Nikhil Alexander Walker could start in this league, and he's going to be coming off your bench.
Well, we are taking your Hawks reactions all morning long, whether it's a hot take or not. We want to hear from you. It's an exciting day in the A. Thanks to Paul, Trayvon, and Frank for calling in this morning. I know it's early. And coming up in the front page, Steelers and Dolphins, they did make a pretty big deal yesterday. We're going to break that down. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. It is my turn at Top 5 Tuesday.
Ooh,
if you're
no pressure.
Having a 4th of July party.
Wow.
I'm going to give you the top 5 songs you must have on your playlist.
Okay.
That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan. We are talking Hawks all morning long. Going to pivot just a little bit right now because Braves are welcoming the Angels to Truist tonight. On the mound, we do have Didier Fuentes. Right now stands at 0-2. Oh, he's going to get his first chance to pitch at home. For the Angels, it's Tyler Anderson, and he is 2-5.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what this next chapter looks like for Didier Fuentes. Obviously, has had his ups and downs away from home. This Angel, not great, but they have been hot here of late and have played pretty good baseball. So,
you know, it's funny.
What?
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hell, they're better than us.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like, and look. I almost enjoy playing teams that are hot because it like so many times does it feel like we have a lapse in focus when you're playing the Rockies and the Marlins and teams like that. It's like, yeah, go ahead and lock in. Like, I would like you. We play better when we're playing good teams, and hopefully we can continue throughout the entirety of the series to have that energy moving forward.
Yeah, that's why I laugh because I thought the same. I was like, what did I say to you this morning? So the Braves should win 5 of 6 of their next 6, and then I was like. I mean, the Angels are 41-42. That's more than we can say. Fuentes has used his fastball primarily. He's done a good job of mixing in his curve and his sweeper, but he's primarily been a three-pitch guy so far, first two starts. The only thing about I was looking at Anderson, Allie. I like to look at these pitchers and what the Braves are facing. This guy doesn't have like mow you down, Tyler Anderson. He's not going to mow you down, right? Blow you away at the plate. But he does a good job keeping you off balance with his mixing in his. He uses his four seam, his change, and his cutter, and then he throws in two. He actually has five pitches, but primarily it's those three. And he does a good job of kind of mixing those in. You need to win 5 or 6. I hate it because I'm a win the series type of guy, but I just don't feel like 4 and 2 the next 6 is good enough.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'll obviously have my eyes peeled on Sunday because we all know that just drives me nuts whenever you drop a series finale. But also, just really quick, Brian Snicker talked yesterday a little bit about Ron Washington, how he's praying for him and hoping for everything to come back together with that. So just a quick mention of Ron Washington because I think we all kind of feel the same way.
We do. I do. And are we going to give Travis Darno a standing ovation tonight?
100%.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
We have to, right?
There's one thing that we've been blessed with a lot of good teams here in Atlanta, but the one thing we are known for is standing ovations for former players. There's no doubt about that. Like, come on back in, baby. The water's fine. Bring it on back.
Yeah. Well, momentarily, I am going to get hammered on my top 5 Tuesday list for patriotic songs because
get hammered, huh?
Because I know what everyone's going to say. I already know what you're going to say about my list, but we got to mention the Steelers-Dolphins news first. Yesterday, Steelers and the Dolphins pulled off a massive trade that involved 3 different players, 2 draft picks. So Steelers are sending Minka Fitzpatrick to Miami along with a 2027 fifth round pick in exchange for Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey in a 2027 seventh round pick.
Yeah, my mind was blown when I saw this one. I know that, you know, they've been looking for obviously a tight end when it comes to Jonnu Smith. We've had that conversation before here a number of times. The question comes down to, in my mind, and the way these guys play currently, do you trade 1 all pro for the chance at 2 pro bowlers? And that's what I think Miami is looking. I think that's what both teams are kind of looking at right now and thinking they're on the right side of this trade. But Minka Fitzpatrick seemed to me like a guy that was untouchable, and turns out he's not, and we'll be headed back to Miami, obviously.
It's weird. This whole thing's weird to me because Minka Fitzpatrick was drafted by who?
Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's going back there. Now I know that it was different coaching staff, and I think even GMs. I mean, but it's a weird thing. I don't know. What is Jalen Ramsey going to go do? Is he going to play? Is he going to make that switch now to a safety position?
I think he has to. I think their corner spots are already pretty much sewed up.
So, I actually like it for the Steelers, and I think it kind of shows that maybe like they're adding another tight end that fits perfect with Arthur Smith. They're going all. It feels like they're making moves to say we are trying to win this year.
Yeah.
So it just.
You just really don't ever see that many 3-time All Pros like that, like Minka, just go in a deal and get packaged for the players. Because I think those other 2 players, Jonnu and Jalen Ramsey, can be Pro Bowlers this year. But Minka, man, like that's shocking to me. Anyways,
but how do you think he? I think he feels going back to Miami because he wasn't there very long.
Well, and I'm trying to think of where I'm trying to think of where he's from originally. I want to say maybe he's from South Florida. Out of high school. I might be wrong about that, though.
No, but he's from Jersey.
Okay.
Maybe he went to high school.
Oh, I'm thinking of Patrick Tain.
I think it's just weird to me that a guy that you drafted, in the first round and wasn't a bad player there, but then you just got rid of. I mean, he was an all pro. He had half a season in Miami and then the other half was in Pittsburgh. But it's just weird to me. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I do think it's a good deal for the Steelers. And now you kind of look at Mike McDaniels and what is next for this Miami team because they need to win a playoff game.
I think it was a big move for them. And obviously it seems like they're on the hunt now for a tight end. Hey, got somebody you can call. Let Terry Cook.
Yeah. Look, I don't – I'm not overly in on that, surprisingly.
All right, guys, get your phones out. Be ready to take some notes because I'm about to give
you –
better
be very careful here.
4th of July playlist. Here's what I want to preface about this playlist.
Oh, God.
This is for your cookout. This is for your barbecue. This is not just to be patriotic, okay?
Just as long as we're pointing out that's not the same thing. The cookout and the barbecue. Okay.
An event, a 4th of July event. Okay. Party right, that you're having.
Your pool party. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so your
there
pool
you
party.
Go. Okay. All right, perfect.
So, we all love Lee Greenwood, but I'm sorry, you're not going to hear him on this list, okay? It's not going to happen. And
well,
I know there's going to be calls.
I'm going to sit this segment out then.
There's going to be calls and tweets about Lee Greenwood. I just know it.
Do you know at my elementary school they played this every single morning? Every single morning
really?
They played, I swear.
What a cool school.
It was. We were the Patriots, and they played this every single morning.
I do love that. I mean, and I will say this song gives me chills every time I hear it. Like,
it's
just
a good tune.
It gives you a lot of pride, but that's not what this list is for. This is the top 5 songs at your 4th of July party. We'll go with party.
All right. Be very careful.
Couple honorable mentions. We're going to start with James Brown from 1985, Living in America.
Yes. What's the first thing you think of when you hear this song?
Rocky.
There's no doubt. Like, I am. Rocky IV
Apollo,
is on the screen.
Apollo is
come
coming
on,
down.
Apollo. Dancing, baby.
The Russians is standing in the ring. Yeah. Drago's is standing there.
I must break you.
All mad. If he dies, he dies.
All right, so that's an honorable mention. Another one, I think this one might upset you, Bo, because it is, you know, from one of our favorite movies, Saving Silverman, Neil Diamond, America.
Don't know if this would be on my list,
okay. But
if it's from Saving Silverman, which it is, and he makes an amazing appearance in that movie, I'm in.
Which we probably offend many people by saying the song is from Saving Silverman.
I know. Well, you know what? They're Neil Diamond fans. They're probably offended by a lot, so I don't really care.
All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. This is the top 5 playlist for your 4th of July party. Coming in from 1998, we've got number 5.
Number 5.
Oh. Honestly, I'm good with it. This is a good pick.
Do you remember this music video?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah, who doesn't?
He redid. So this is the Guess Who originally, okay? So this is a remake, obviously, or cover, as they say in the music world. And I think he covered this song for the Austin Powers soundtrack, the one with Heather Graham in it.
Oh, how random.
Yeah. I know. Don't.
Really?
Don't. Yeah, because I think that's in the music video, too. I think.
Man,
a little bit.
You are good for a random fact.
I know.
Once in a while.
Look at me.
I've never thought about that. Have y'all seen the video of him going to Bucky's? It's incredible.
Yeah, in his leather pants.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, wow. I think it's weird, though, that he just starts doing ab crunches in the middle of Bucky's.
He's like spinning around. It's like he's in his own music video.
Okay, I'm
going to
find that and tweet that out.
Good stuff.
That was, of course, Lenny Kravitz, American Woman. All right, next up.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Let's not get lost in the actual message of the song.
I was going to say. It is what it is. But it's honestly hard not to. It's hard not to.
It was great until I realized what the song
what
was about. And I'm Steak will come in here on like two wheels, but the most overrated artist in the history of the world is Bruce Springsteen.
No.
Wow.
I mean, he is so overrated.
Wow.
It's not funny. Although I love the E Street Band because, you know, my guy is in Sopranos. So, but I'm not a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Oh, wow. My gosh. You have to see him live. I saw him at Gwinnett Arena, Gaslath Arena. He played 2 hours.
Wow.
And there's like no production behind him. It's just him and his guitar running around. It's incredible.
A lot to be said about that.
My old mass comm professor might be a bigger Bruce Springsteen fan than Steak.
Wow.
He might be. They're close. They're right there.
All right. So that was number 4. We've got Lenny Kravitz, Bruce Springsteen, and coming in next.
Number 3.
All right. Whoa.
The eye rolls have started.
Okay. I'm a little bit taken off base here.
I get it.
But it's almost like
the astronaut herself, Katy Perry.
It's almost like it would have been a 5, if anything, because it's kind of like just a pun.
Was this number 4 or 3?
This is 3.
How is this 3 in Living in America by James Brown is not on the list? It's an honorable mention.
This is my party playlist for the 4th of July.
Well,
you have to come to the party.
I hope Grant takes over the radio.
She's got the aux. Okay. Like I like the fact that it keeps the vibes high and the energy moving.
And who's
at your party?
Sing along?
Yeah,
me. I'm not.
If you've had a couple drinks, you're singing along.
Not singing along. I don't even know the words of this, nor would I want to sing along. I would just sit there and protest.
You're a complete
liar, Amy.
But, yeah.
Please get footage because I promise you, he's going to sing along next time it comes on.
I agree.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Number 2.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Disliking Tom Petty is un-American. He's one of my favorite artists of all time. You can just play his greatest hits with him and the Heartbreakers. His live anthology album, phenomenal. He does some covers of some Grateful Dead stuff too, man. I'm a huge Tom Petty fan.
Got a chance to see him. I've told you the story before. Chance to see him live at Wrigley Field in the outfield about 8 months before he passed away.
So
it was an incredible. Yeah. Like, it's raining. He's like, I'm not going anywhere, guys. You just sit right there.
Oh my
seats.
Gosh!
Saw him twice. One at Lakewood.
Oh, nice.
And when Last Dance came on, because it was obviously a night show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the middle of the day. There were so many lighters lighting up. And then it immediately smelled like, you know, a Cypress Hill concert. It was
very nice. Yeah. I could see that happening. That was the first cassette I ever bought was Tom.
There you go.
Tom Petty
there. That's funny because when I got a CD player for Christmas, the first two CDs I got, one of which was Tom Petty and Heartbreaker's Greatest Hits.
There we go. All right. This is the one I know you guys are going to roll your eyes at. However,
oh my gosh.
Again, you have a drink or two.
Comes a boy band.
Everybody is singing this dang song.
Number one.
I quit. Somebody tell Mike Conti that I left my mic muff and my earphones for the next man. I quit.
I really thought you would be hit or miss on this mic.
I will say this. So we played in the Rose Bowl when I was a senior. That was where the national title game was. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of the theme song.
There you go.
We literally flew into LAX.
Good memories.
And yeah. But number one on 4th of July.
On the party playlist.
Come on, bro.
Absolutely. Everybody
Come
sing
on,
along.
Bro.
I like the vibes when everyone sings along and is having a good time.
I mean,
time.
I do too, but number one.
You know what everybody sings along to at my barbecues? A Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. You could have played that, I mean, over this. I mean.
Well.
Just number one. Man, like that is a tough pill to swallow.
And I knew there was going to be a lot of criticism, so feel free to reach out about my top five party playlists for your 4th of July party. You can hit us on Twitter at 929MorningShift. We're also going to be taking your Hawks reaction all day long. I'm sure Mike and Bo have some amendments to my list that we'll cover on the other side. But we've got some big moves going on in the A. We want to hear from you today. 404-726-0929. We're going to talk about it all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. I quit.